What follows is an explanation of the heating and air conditioning tune-up special. You've probably seen them in your junk mail. I personally don't offer tune-up specials, I offer inspections, and so I'll explain what my inspections are all about later in this recording. If you're listening to this on my voicemail system, then at any time you can hit the star sign to go to the previous menu. So the typical tune-up special may include a 24-point inspection for a low $88. They'll sometimes say things like they're going to restore your furnace or AC to factory fresh condition, which is crazy. That's not going to happen. What really happens is this. They've lost money the second they've knocked on your door because that $88 does not even pay for the ad campaign. And I'm not kidding about that. If you do a search for customer acquisition cost, HVAC industry, you'll find that it costs a contractor $200 to $300 to acquire one new customer through mass media. That means they've lost quite a bit of money just driving to your house, and now they're going to lose even more money by doing a tune-up special? Not too likely. The typical tune-up special often ends in one of two ways. One is, if you've got a relatively new system, then they might be in and out in a half hour because most contractors, even the bad ones, are not so brazen as to push a new system on somebody that has fairly new equipment already. Instead, they may try to sell you a surge protector, or an air cleaner, or a new thermostat, or duct cleaning, which is a scam, by the way. You can learn about that on my website. Or maybe they'll just be in and out in a hurry. The other common result is that you'll be told to buy a new system, and then you may end up calling me. Tune-up specials are the number one reason why people call me for a second opinion. They'll say something like, "Hey John, I just had a tune-up by highly rated company X, and they say I need a whole new system." Well, of course they did, because they lost money knocking on your door, and because the majority of so-called maintenance technicians are paid a very low hourly wage. Many of them are making minimum wage plus commission. So the only way the tech can make a decent living is if he sells you something. So that's the economic side of the tune-up special. Now let me explain the mechanical side of not only the tune-up special, but of maintenance in general. First of all, realize that modern residential natural gas furnaces need less maintenance than they used to. Most of the time, their motors are sealed, so I can't oil them. Modern furnaces do not have belts to replace. Their burners may not need to be cleaned because natural gas burns very cleanly. Sometimes they do need cleaning, but a lot of times they don't. Now, if you have a furnace that burns propane or fuel oil, then it may need more cleaning than a natural gas furnace. As for air conditioners and heat pumps, they often need even less maintenance than furnaces. There are certainly some exceptions. If your AC sits in an unusually dirty environment, or if it has cottonwood trees that cover it with that white fluff, then yeah, it may need annual service. But locally, at least, that's not usually the case. So a lot of the maintenance-related promises found on some of these tune-up specials don't apply to modern systems. As for the maintenance-related promises that do apply to modern systems, some, and perhaps most, are a little misleading. For example, one point on one particular company's list is to test all AC electrical connections. Well, I've been a heating and air conditioning tradesman for a long time, and I'm not really sure what that means. I suppose if they flip the AC on and it works, then all the electrical connections must be working, right? So maybe that's the test. Another point says they're going to tighten all electrical connections. All of them? Really? There could be 100 or more of those connections, and it's not even possible to tighten a lot of them. Many of the connections that you can tighten, like the connection behind the SSU, can be a hassle to get to, and other connections just need to be left alone. So while there may be a few electrical connections that can be tightened, like those in the AC's fuse box, it doesn't really happen the way they imply. I could go on and lampoon most of the other points of their multi-point inspection, but you get the idea. So, as you can imagine, the natural reaction some homeowners have to what I just said is to say to me, "Oh, so you're telling me to skip maintenance and just wait till it breaks?" No. That is not what I'm telling you. Anything that can become dangerous when neglected, like a furnace, should, of course, be inspected once in a while. If you want a very basic but free inspection, you can get one from PG&E. They don't inspect ACs, but they will inspect any of your gas appliances, and it is just an inspection. They don't do any kind of maintenance, and they don't fix anything either. If you want something a little more comprehensive on your furnace or AC, then you call a guy like me who's going to do a real inspection and maybe a little real maintenance. For example, it's somewhat common to find furnaces running a little hot, meaning their output temperature is in the upper end of their allowed range. If that's the case, I'll probably bring that down to help with the furnace's longevity. I also usually clean the flame sensor. That needs to be done every 5 or 10 years, and at least locally. I'll take care of the air filters, or at least make sure you're taking care of them, which is really what should be happening anyway. And then there's a couple of parts that I might recommend replacing. The most common part I replace is the capacitor. Pretty much everyone is going to replace one or two capacitors in their equipment before the equipment itself is replaced. So if your system is around 10 years old or older, or if the capacitors that the manufacturer installed were cheap to begin with, then I'm probably going to recommend replacing them. A very high percentage of capacitors eventually fail. So if I'm there anyway, why don't we nip that in the bud? The other thing I might recommend replacing is the igniter if your furnace has a particular type of igniter and if it looks worn. I won't go into too much detail here, other than to say replacing that kind of igniter will also prevent a fairly predictable failure. Those are the two most common recommendations I make. I may recommend something else for your particular system, and while replacing those items I just mentioned can be preventive, I do avoid using the term preventive maintenance because I can't prevent most failures. That's because I can't predict the future. I know that may seem obvious, but after I perform an inspection, a lot of people ask me if their AC is good for the summer or if their furnace is good for the winter. What they're really asking is if something is going to break anytime soon. Or sometimes they ask me how long the system in general has left. And my answer to both questions, usually, is I don't know. I might be able to give you some idea of what will fail next or how long your system has left based on my experience, but that's just an educated guess. There are a few exceptions, but with rare exception, I won't be able to tell you with any certainty how long your system has left or when it's going to break next. In fact, your system could have a major failure tomorrow, and in most cases, I won't be able to tell you that today. No one can. If someone says they can, and if you really push them, in most cases, you'll find out they're just guessing. And so here's the bottom line. If I'm just checking a furnace or just checking an AC, then I might be there for around an hour and charge around 250. If I'm checking both, it might be around 350. If I change the capacitors in both, then the total might be around 450. And if I also replace an igniter, then the total might be around 550. Those are ballpark numbers, of course, and they're only accurate at the time of this recording, which is May of 22, and for an average system. Your system may not be average. But if we talk on the phone, and if you describe your system to me, then I can give you a more tailored and up-to-date estimate. $500 is obviously a heck of a lot more than $88, but we're actually going to get something done, and I'm not going to try to sell you a new system. If you're going to compare my prices to others, make it a real comparison. Don't focus on that initial fee. Find out what they're going to charge to do something real. You might say something like, hey, if I have an igniter and a couple of capacitors that need to be replaced during this tune-up special of yours, what will the out-the-door cost be? And then ask them what brand of capacitor they install. From what I've seen, most contractors install cheap capacitors, and if that's what they're going to install, you might be better off leaving your old capacitors alone. And then if you really want to get pushy, ask the person on the phone if their technician's pay is tied in any way whatsoever to how much they sell you. That usually is the case, and I'm sure they usually deny it. So that's my take on the tune-up special versus a real inspection. I understand some folks can't afford my inspection, but then they probably can't afford the consequences of a typical $88 tune-up special either. Generally speaking, those things are just a bad idea. My website has a whole page on tune-up specials, which covers similar ground but also different ground. There's also a page that explains my inspection in more detail. I call that page my three-point inspection, and of course, my inspection has more than 3 points, but I'm making a point by calling it 3 points. So I hope you'll read that page. It has a list of what I do and don't do on an inspection. The part about what I don't do is pretty important, so please check that out. Some folks are surprised by what I and most technicians in general don't do on an inspection. You can find the website by doing a search for High Performance Heating and Air in Concord, California. Make sure you see my phone number at the top of the website, which is 925-687-6887. If you don't see my number, that's not my site. If you're listening to this on my voicemail system, you can hit the star sign to go to the previous menu, or you can hit 0 to leave a message. And if you don't do anything, this message will repeat.